The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Blessed Sunday, and good evening to everyone. You know, we're blessed here at St. Mary's. For the past 3 years, people in the OCIA, it's the Order of Catechesis for Initiation for Adults, those who will want to become Catholic and fully into communion with the Church, we've had for the last 3 years record numbers for our parish. Many, many people are converting to Catholicism here. And this year, same thing, we're on track to receive over 50 people into the church this Easter Vigil. Praise the Lord. And we forget sometimes, if you've been Catholic your whole life, we forget just how weird Catholicism is to non-Catholics. It is a bizarre religion, especially if they're coming from a Protestant background. We have many Protestants that are coming into the church this year. And one of the striking elements, right when they, because imagine this. You've never walked into a Catholic church in your entire life, and on a random Sunday, you just come into St. Mary's. What is the strangest element of our sanctuary that they always tend to point to? The cross. The cross. Because remember, as Catholics, the body of Jesus is always on the cross. But if you go to a Protestant church, hardly ever. It's just a plain-looking cross. And so when they walk in here as non-Catholics, that's one of the first things that strikes them as bizarre, weird. Why, as Catholics, do we always put the body of Jesus in the center of our worship? We find out today in the gospel. In the gospel today that we just read, Jesus says something very strange. He says, just as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus today in the gospel connects the events of the first reading today that we have in the book of Numbers. He says, just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, so must I be lifted up. So he connects the two. Well, we have to must now ask ourselves, what did the bronze serpent mean for the people in Moses' time that we hear about. So to set the stage, the Israelite people are journeying through the desert. They've left Egypt, they're set free, and they're journeying 40 long years to the promised land. And during the middle of their long journey, we have this event. They start to rebel against God. Why have you brought us out from Egypt to die in this desert? There's no food or water. It's disgusting, this wretched food. So they complain and they're rebelling, not trusting. And in punishment, God sends serpents to them. So much so that the serpents bite the Israelites, and many, many of them died. And then they begin to tell Moses, "We're sorry. Please tell God we apologize and to stop the serpents." And so Moses prayed for the people. And then notice the instructions that God gives to Moses. He says, "Make a serpent out of bronze and lift it up." Lift up the bronze serpent. And those who gaze upon the serpent, those who look at it, will be healed. What did the bronze serpent represent? See, this is key. See, you see, if we miss this, we will never fully understand the cross. If we don't understand the book of Numbers and what happened in the events with Moses, this cross, this Jesus upon it, we'll never fully comprehend it. So what did the bronze serpent represent to those people in Moses' time? The serpents represented their deepest fear. Because the serpents, remember, they were attacking them, killing them, killing their family members. And then also the serpent was in reaction for their sins. So the serpent represented those two things, their fear and their sins and the shame that they felt because they had rebelled against God. So that's all in that first reading. And it's precisely this that Jesus now says in the gospel, just as the serpent was raised up by Moses, now I must be lifted up. What is your deepest fear? Do you have a fear? What is your deepest fear? You don't have to yell it out. Some might yell out, "Clowns, Father." No. Something deeper. I know we're all afraid of clowns, right? And afraid of spiders. And afraid of spider clowns, which is the worst thing ever in the history of the universe. But something deeper. What is your deepest fear? And also, I want to ask you, what is your greatest shame in your life? The wounds that you carry. Every single one of us has deep fears, and every single one of us has deep shame. And what do we do with those fears and shames? Well, let's harken back all the way back to Genesis. Do you remember when Adam and Eve first fell? And they heard God moving in the cool of the garden, according to Genesis. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did? They hid, didn't they? They knew that they had sinned and they were shameful. And they feared God, and so they hid themselves. How do we hide from our fears and our sin? Again, fellow sinners, we all do this. We all have ways to numb the pain, to hide from it. Why do you think people get drunk? Why do we drink into excess? How many of our family members, our brothers and sisters, or even ourselves drink so we can numb the pain? Oh, many. How many do drugs, illicit drugs? Oh, we have many, many ways to numb and hide. How about our addictions that many, many of us battle with? Well, what are our addictions? They are the response to the sorrowful mysteries of our lives. All of the addictions and the way we numb the pain, it's just a modern version of hiding behind the bush. It's not new. We all do it. Jesus today offers us a different way. Now here's where we get deep. This is where now the beauty of the cross is on full display. Whatever your deepest fear and your deepest shame, whatever those are, we are meant to find it on the cross. My friends, behold Jesus upon the cross. Whatever you fear, whatever your shame is, we're able to find it upon the cross. Is your deepest fear being utterly alone in your life? But where is that upon the cross? Remember what Jesus said when he cried out? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt utterly alone there. Is your deepest pain being hurt by those you love most and being betrayed by them? Well, where is that upon the cross? His apostles abandoned him. Do you fear being exposed in shame for all the world to see? Jesus was naked on the cross. In our art, we put a loincloth around him only for modesty's sake. But when the Romans crucified you, they crucified you utterly naked to strip every ounce of humanity from you. My friends, everything that we're afraid of and ashamed of, we can find it upon the cross. Now here is where I want now us to put what Jesus does in the gospel into practice. When you receive Holy Communion today and you go back to your pews, and Jerry and the choir will be singing beautifully, and you'll be kneeling there in meditation, stare at the cross and find your deepest fears and your pain upon it. Because just like with Moses, it is when we gaze upon it, stare at it, no longer hiding or numbing it, that we will finally be healed. Only Jesus Christ can heal the human heart. Only Jesus.